Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in wherever you're listening right now. So many options these days. All right, this week we got a really cool show for you. Of course, we're going to talk about what's going on in our world right now, what you can do, what you can't do, what it's going to look like, hopefully here in a couple of weeks. Joe Henry and I are going to discuss some loosening of the regulations for resorts and things, and what the future, the next couple of weeks are going to look like, what after the stay-at-home order expires, hopefully May 4th here, what that's going to look like, the fishing opener May 9th. Also in North Dakota, things are a little bit different. Dakotas did things a little bit different than Minnesota and Wisconsin and some of the other states did. So Jason Mitchell is going to join us from Jason Mitchell Outdoors to talk about what it's like to be fishing in North Dakota right now. And we might just talk a little bit about that potential state record walleye that he caught. What an adventure it was for him out on the river the other day. We'll talk about where he was at, how it all went down. He calls it a gong show. So we'll have him tell the story and get his thoughts on the world we're living in right now. Great show for you here this week on Sporting Journal Radio. This week's show, of course, is brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. When we can get back up to Lake of the Woods, you can plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. It's brought to you by our friends at Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake. Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. HayBaleHeights.com has the details there, too. They also bring us a North Dakota Outdoors Report with Doug Lear. He's going to talk about what else is going on in the outdoor world here in North Dakota in a little bit. Brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge, offering trophy lake trout and northern pike fishing in northwest Saskatchewan. The season finale of Tazen TV premiered this week on the Tazen Lake Lodge YouTube channel. Check it out. It was a really cool episode with the Canadian Fishing Network guys. Upper 40-inch pike. I had the biggest pike of my life hooked up. Watch the video to see what happens. It's heartbreaking. Also, some big lake trout. In fact, a 60-pound lake trout we caught on that episode. Check it out on the Tazen Lake Lodge YouTube channel. Brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. Just a few episodes left here in the new season. Really cool episode debuting this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS with Carol Henderson as we pay tribute to Minnesota DNR's first non-game wildlife manager. Carol Henderson, in any case, he brought back the trumpeter swans. He brought back the peregrine falcons. He did a lot for a lot of the non-game wildlife species that we have fun seeing those out in the fields and prairies and in the woods just as much. You don't get to hunt them, of course, but they're still pretty cool to see out there. And he was very instrumental, especially that trumpeter swan comeback. Some of the stories that he tells about bringing those trumpeter swans, about nearly getting in a plane crash. He had to fly. Let's see. He flew to Alaska for peregrine Alaska for swans, I think, and then Saskatchewan for peregrine falcons. He had to do some wild things to bring some of those species back. So he tells those stories this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS on a new episode of Prairie Sportsman. Time now for What's New, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman, the Emmy Award-winning show based on Pioneer PBS. Find out where you can watch the show at prairiesportsman.org or watch the episodes now at prairiesportsman.org on YouTube or on our Facebook or Instagram. Not a whole lot of new things to talk about other than what's changing every day about what we can and can't do in the outdoors. We'll talk more about all these things and what's going on with resorts with Joe Henry and Jason Mitchell coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio. They also did announce that they're spending $1 million though on a couple of DNR grants to fight the emerald ash borer in 23 counties. Now what's new in North Dakota, brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort.
The Spring Game and Fish Advisory Board meetings will be held online this year. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. The Game and Fish Advisory Board will live stream its spring round of public meetings this year due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Advisory districts 1, 2, 7, and 8, which are roughly the western half of the state, will have their combined meeting on Monday, April 27th. Districts 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the eastern part of the state will follow on Tuesday, April 28th. Both meetings will start at 7 p.m. Central Time and conclude around 10 p.m. The meetings will begin with department presentations, followed by questions and answers with select staff, including Director Terry Stywan, Deputy Director Scott Peterson, Fisheries Chief Greg Power, and Wildlife Chief Jeb Williams. Outdoor enthusiasts are invited to this public live stream event by visiting the Game and Fish website, gf.nd.gov. Questions can be submitted via live chat during the event or can be submitted in advance at ndgflive@nd.gov. In other news, if you see a black bear in North Dakota, the Game and Fish Department wants to know about it. Game and Fish fur bear biologist Stephanie Tucker says black bears are quite conspicuous and rarely mistaken for other species. Reports from the public are the agency's primary means of keeping track of black bears. Tucker said Game and Fish confirms 12 to 15 black bear sightings in the state each year, with most documented in the northern or eastern portions of the state. However, she said, they have the potential to turn up anywhere. Anyone who observes a black bear is asked to report it online and provide a photograph, if you happen to take one, at the Game and Fish website, gf.nd.gov. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on this radio station right here, by streaming the show on demand at sportingjournalradio.com and by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Our guest now is Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how's it going?
Hey, Brett. It's going well. How are you?
Well, not too bad considering everything else that's going on. And I wanted to ask you this, Joe. You know, we've got so many options for listening to the show, and I've been contemplating, because I do the TV show too, and obviously we're not traveling, so I've done a lot of filming here at home, and I'm setting up a little home video studio now. I've been considering doing this radio show and this podcast with like video cameras, or setting up a Zoom or whatever, FaceTime, however it works, but doing videos and then recording the whole show as a video as well and putting it on YouTube and Facebook and all of that. I know, especially people that are regulars on this show, you know, a lot of times we're doing the interviews from wherever, sometimes on the run. How do you feel about if we started doing video?
Oh, I think that'd be awesome. You know, just another way to get the message out, and I think that'd be fine. Now we can do video, and I'm just gonna put a piece of tape over my webcam. Is that okay?
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose, Joe.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna have to start brushing my hair a little bit more for the. You know, I'm a radio guy. You know, this TV thing is the last 5 years, but I've been doing radio for a long time. It's the last 5 years I've actually had to start brushing my hair and you know, dressing up a little bit. Normally the radio guys, you know, you just kind of stumble into the studio and flip on the mic. You don't have to worry about people looking at you. But nowadays video is everywhere, and with people so used to communicating via video chat of some sort, I think it'd be a nice feature to add here to the show.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you probably don't know this, but you kind of motivated me. I saw one of your, I don't know if it was a Snapchat video, that you were cutting your own hair.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, you know what, with the barbershops and such being closed, you know, my hair is getting a little long, so I'm going to get her done. So I have a clipper here, and I watched a YouTube video, speaking of video, just to how to trim your own hair. And I started, first time ever, right? So I started going at it, and I'm a little bit leery, and And the sides went pretty good. A little hair came off, and all of a sudden it went to the top, and all of a sudden I see a big chunk of hair in the sink. And I'm like, oops. I looked at my head, and I'm not kidding you. And it looked real odd. So let's just say that I had to take it all down, and my hair is shorter now than it has been in years. So if I'm on a video, I deal with you. I'm probably going to have to wear a hat for a while.
That's the way to go. You know, and that's the key, really, to doing your own haircut is going as short as possible. Really, it's a number two all the way around the head for me with those clippers. And then you can't really mess it up too bad. Although, in that video that I did of cutting my own hair, I started, I got all kinds of creative. I had a mohawk for a while there. And yeah, it all eventually came off. And it's funny, you know, when I was up at Tazen Lake last summer, Joe, up in Saskatchewan, I was up there for a while, and the same kind of thing. And, you know, we weren't under quarantine, of course, but I was stuck on an island in the middle of nowhere. I needed to cut my hair. We're doing some filming. My hair was getting a little bit long. Well, all I had was like my beard trimmer, which I'm like, this'll do it. Well, I've owned that beard trimmer for 5 years. So needless to say, when I decided to try to cut my hair with it, I realized how dull the blades were. And I got through half of it, Joe. I had half of a haircut, and the trimmer just gave up. So now I have to go to supper and sit down with all of our clients at the lodge, along with all the people that work there and the owner. And when we get in there, we have a nice meal. I usually take, you know, we all take our hats off. I didn't want to take my hat off. And Trevor, the owner, is kind of sitting next to me, and he's kind of side eyeing me a little bit, you know, like, why aren't you taking your hat off? You know? And I kind of look back at him and I just shake my head. No, you don't want me to take my hat off. So finally he elbows me. So I take my hat off, and like the whole table just erupts with laughter. And I was like, oh gosh. Thankfully, one of the guides there had some clippers on the island. So then I was able to cut the rest of it. But it's funny. We just did an episode of Tazen TV, the last one of the season. And there's a shot of me without a hat on as I'm working on a fish in the net. You can see, I even put a little note in the video. This is the haircut you give yourself when you're on an island for too long.
Well, I probably shouldn't say this because, you know, I shouldn't, but I will, because, you know, what I didn't tell you is the clippers I used had never been used before. But they weren't human clippers. They were dog clippers. So, you know, I'd never used them before. They're brand new. And I'm like, well, what's the difference? So I looked online, and of course it said that they're actually more robust because a dog's hair is thicker compared to a human's hair. So the clippers are actually better clippers, I think. So I thought, well, you know what? As long as the dogs don't mind using the clippers after my hair, they're not going to go the other way around.
They're not going to care. No, I imagine, yeah, they probably are nicer clippers. You know what? In a time like this, you got to do what you got to do, Joe. You have to adapt.
You know why the clippers are nicer, Brett? Number one, the dogs have thicker hair, so they got to be a little better that way. But also, when you clip a dog, the clippers have to be on longer so they can withstand higher temperatures for the clippers.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that, you learn something new every day, don't you?
So, yeah, I went out and bought just some wall clippers or whatever, a nice set for $40 or whatever it was. But I'll tell you what, next time I have to do this, I'm buying dog clippers. I'm going to look for dog clippers. Oh, man. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Joe, it's the world we're living in right now. Nothing surprises me anymore. But we got, can we call it good news? We got some clarifications, some news about what's happening in the outdoor world right now in Minnesota.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever we talk about, you know, anything changing, it really is with a preface and a caution, because, you know, we all have to practice all the things that we've been taught, you know, the last couple of months with social distancing and caution, with, you know, hand sanitizing and masks and all the different things. And, but, you know, up at Lake of the Woods, you know, our resorts are doing much like other, you know, resorts around the state, and just really following the lead of our state government for the most part. And, you know, they came out with some new, I guess you'd call them descriptions of or new versions of the stay-at-home order, where it almost is like it appears as if, you know, they're not opening that faucet. They're just turning a little bit, just a little bit of trickle of water can come out. And the change was you know, obviously fishing is open in the state, and it appears that if you are, you know, with people of your same household, you practice social distancing, you know, you're able to, you know, recreate, whether it's golf or fishing or whatever the case might be, and, you know, still stay at a resort or a hotel. You know, we receive this verbiage. You try not to wordsmith. You try to look at it. You know, so we reached out to, gosh, you know, a lobbyist. We reached out to a state representative on the clarification. And then, of course, in listening to the governor's press conference yesterday, he was posed a question from a reporter at the end that, you know, asked about, you know, some resorts in the Brainerd Lakes area wanted to know if people can stay at their resorts. And of course, his comment was, well, you know, people are coming up golfing and such, as long as they're, you know, practicing the social distancing rules and the other things we talk about, well, sure, they have to have a place to stay. And that's, so that kind of, you know, getting three different clarifications on it. So the bottom line is, you know, there's things starting to move just a little bit. And I think that's probably the way to start getting things rolling again, you know. And so, you know, I guess I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm very, very privy to the fact that we all still have to be on guard and do all the different things. You know, I think I've mentioned it before, our resort community, boy, we've been sharing information about COVID-19 cleaning techniques and chemicals and different kind of cleaning checklists used for the resorts and such. They've gone to great extents to be, you know, specialized cleaning. They're doing things such as, you know, either online or on the phone check-in. You know, a lot of times you can go up to a Lake of the Woods resort in some cases, and you can do everything you need to do either on the phone or online. And then you'll know what cabin number you have. So you show up at your cabin. The cabin will be open for you. You know, really, you and your group, if you have your own boat, you know, you can go in that cabin. You can go fishing each day, make your own meals, or do the meal plan where either you pick, one person will pick the meals up at the resort, or they'll get delivered to your front door. For the most part, you don't even have to necessarily step in foot in that resort, and you may never see the owners. Hmm. You might be able to come there, do your whole trip, and take off. And quite frankly, you know, you look at it that way. If you're really following the precautions, gosh, you know, I went to Menards here recently on the weekend to get a lawnmower battery, you know, for my riding lawnmower, and it was like Black Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when you look at it that way, I don't want anybody to say, oh, hey, we're open for business. No. Very, very subtle, but it's a subtle move in a certain direction, if I can say that rightly.
Well, let's pretend it's May 4th, Joe. And okay. or May 9th or May 8th, maybe. We're getting ready for the opener. As of right now, as the time we're recording this, I mean, it's game on, right?
Well, you know, I don't want to say that because, you know, things are changing daily. And, you know, I know you said as we're recording this, but so the reason May 4th, and I don't want to assume people know the dates, but, you know, the stay-at-home order for Minnesota goes till May 4th. And some of the difference in verbiage was, in the past, people were prohibited in traveling and staying at a resort or lodge for recreational purpose. Now they're discouraged. So did you see how that twist has happened? And are they going to extend the May 4th stay-at-home deadline with clarifications like they've done currently? I don't know what they're going to do there. And then certainly the May 9th fishing opener, I certainly would believe that the fishing opener is going to happen. It's just a matter of, you know, what kind of parameters for travel and staying at different lodges and that sort of thing. And, you know, what we know right now, Brett, is like right now, you know, you can't have any guiding right now. I think they think that people will be too close together in a boat.
Oh,
charter boats are not able to operate currently. Are they going to change that here in the near future? Perhaps. We don't know. But currently, that's the way it is. So, you know, yes, you can go fishing, but there are some asterisks there. You can't just go jump on a charter boat with five other people. You know, you have to either have your own boat, or you might be able to rent a boat from a resort. But they're keeping it isolated. You know what I mean?
I do. Yep, absolutely. Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods Tourism, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. Well, for the guy that is going to be out fishing, hopefully we're up on Lake of the Woods for the fishing opener. What do you think it's going to look like, Joe?
Well, I can tell you this. The fish are definitely there. I mean, we get people at sturgeon fishing right now. I mean, locals primarily. But now that's going to start opening up based on some recent changes like we talked about. But we have some people up there sturgeon fishing. They're catching a lot of sturgeon. Some of the sturgeon anglers, well, you know this firsthand, some of the sturgeon anglers are catching walleyes in the river.
Sure.
So we still have some walleyes in the river, and you know the population of walleyes is very good on Lake Lewis. And so fishing is going to be good. I can tell you the ice conditions right now, you know, the entire river is open all the way through Four Mile Bay, through the Lighthouse Gap, which for people that don't know, the Lighthouse Gap, the Rainy River flows into Four Mile Bay, which is literally about 4 miles across. And then there's a real thin strip of land called Pine Island. And then on the Canadian side, there's a thin island called Sable Island. When the Rainy River flows through those two islands, that's called the Lighthouse Gap. And then you enter into a great big lake of the woods called Big Traverse Bay. Well, you know, that the open water is out in front of the Lighthouse Gap, well into Lake of the Woods. So, but the whole lake is still ice covered, which is pretty normal for now. Up at the northwest angle, you know, the big areas, the big expanses are still ice covered like they normally are. And then you have areas between the islands that are kind of neck down areas that have a little more current. You know, those are for the most part open water. So things are happening. Mother Nature is pushing things along just like she normally does each year. It's going to be for opening day, May 9th, it's going to be a jig bite like it normally is, I think. Some people will pull some cranks and catch fish, but most people will be out there anchored up and jigging with a frozen shiner over the side of the boat. They'll be using a either a gold or a pink or an orange or a combination of their glow jig. And it's going to be game on. There's going to be a lot of fish caught.
Well, I know people are chomping at the bit to get out. Some people are obviously fishing close to home, but I know people missed out on getting up on the Rainy River this spring. So I have a feeling when we're allowed and everything's safe, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people heading up there. And I'm looking forward to it myself, Joe. And if people want to start making plans so that when the okay, all clear is sounded, where can they find more information about it?
Yeah, you betcha. You know, our Facebook page is a good source of information, the Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, you can check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Going to continue talking walleyes. We'll go over to the North Dakota side with Jason Mitchell, who caught an absolute tank. He thinks it was state record size. We'll hear more about it next on Sporting Journal Radio. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the northwest angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Jason Mitchell is our guest now here on the radio show. I saw a picture he posted the other day of, that was a nice fish. I mean, it was a decent walleye, I guess. Well, we'll ask him about it because it was a giant. Jason, thanks for coming on the show. Congratulations on a heck of a fish, man.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. Pretty crazy situation. I never imagined in a million years that something like that would ever happen to me. The Missouri River is no secret. I mean, it's a phenomenal fishery. And you know what? If people get motivated to get out there and maybe get a little bit of sunshine and experience some great fishing, that's great. You know, and there's a lot of boats out there. I mean, the river's, you know, I mean, some people get turned off by, oh, it's crowded, whatever. But I find that people are pretty polite. Everybody's out there for the same reasons. And it's just a phenomenal fishery, you know. And I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do. Rainy River is the same way, you know. Everybody's out there for the same reasons. And, it's a deal where, you know, I'd wait in line a long time to catch a fish like that.
Well, I want to talk about the fish, which you say could have been a state record in North Dakota, but you just brought up something, and I want to just shift gears real quick here at the beginning of this interview, because you talked about it being busy on the river there. In Minnesota, there's been some public access closures. Of course, the Rainy River was closed off. In Michigan, they don't want you bringing a boat with a motor because they don't want congested boat landings. But Jason, you fish obviously all the time. How close do you generally get to people at boat access? Like, I always thought that argument that boat accesses are going to be dangerous because there's going to be too many people there. But realistically, I mean, aside from maybe a guy, you know, holding the boat on a dock that you might walk by or whatever, really, you don't get that close to people there, do you?
No, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my lifetime. It's the worst of what we're going to see in bureaucracy, hopefully, in our lifetimes. 2 years from now, we're going to look back at the foolishness and the ridiculousness of everything when we see how many divorces there are, how many suicides, how much depression, how much all these other things that are factored in when somebody can't leave their house or they don't have a job, and there's all these uncertainties in people's worlds. And the thing about hunting and fishing and the outdoor activities that maybe people that don't do it don't understand is that hunting and fishing is really, really good for people. Okay. And whether you want to go off on a tangent, for example, on gun control or all these other things that kind of get all tied together by, say, somebody that lives in a city that's never hunted, never fished, never been outdoors, never been an outdoor enthusiast, and they don't understand it. Or, you know, you look at these travesties or these really angry young people that are doing, you know, terrible things in their communities, whether it's shooting somebody or whatever. Do you think they just got done catching a smallmouth on a topwater? Absolutely not. And hunting and fishing is a activity that is therapeutic. It's the best pill you could take for COVID-19.
And what some of those people, sorry, Jason, what some of those people in the cities, like this Michigan governor, doesn't understand is if you want people to avoid crowded places like the grocery store, being able
send
to go
them outdoors.
Yeah. Yep. Being able to go out and provide for yourself from off the land. That's the ultimate in social distancing.
Absolutely. I mean, you could make the argument, well, these people are going to come up from maybe Chicago where they can't fish either. They're going to be crowded at our boat ramps, and there's going to have to be a gas station attendant exposed to some risk, or there's going to have to be a, you know, hotel or whatever. But, you know, the other thing that's at work here is, so you've got the constitutional rights that every American has, and then you've got the, you know, obviously just the economics of being able to provide for yourself and make a living. And there's no easy answers. And obviously you have the deadliness of it, right? I mean, Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt or sick or lose anybody. And I don't take that lightly or say it lightly. I guess myself, you know, I can honestly look you in the eye and say this, that I would rather take my chances and enjoy my freedoms and take my chance of dying. You know, and there's been a lot of great Americans that have risked death for freedom. And to lose these freedoms, there's no ifs in the Constitution. You look at the Spanish flu, you look at different pandemics, there's a way more pandemics when our founding fathers were alive, and they knew all about pandemics at that time, right? I mean, some of the first colonies that settled North America from Europe, I mean, some of them were wiped out completely, or they lose 50%, like Plymouth Pilgrims, they lost 50% of their population the first winter. They knew all about pandemics, but there's no ifs in the Constitution.
Yeah, this is the healthiest we've probably ever been, you know, as a country.
Well, we're the luckiest generation, right? I mean, we truly, I mean, there's never been a better time or a better place to be a human being. Yeah. I'm talking about since civilization began. We are so lucky. When all we have to argue about is whether a guy that dresses a woman should be able to race against a girl in a high school cross country meet, that's a debate. We're living in pretty cherished, privileged times.
And you're 100% right. And that's been my worry in this whole situation is obviously we want people to be safe. We want people to be healthy. We don't want people to die.
Absolutely.
So much of the discussion has become one way or the other, black or white. And it's not a black and white discussion. There's a lot.
No.
You can have a rational discussion about reopening the economy or going fishing with a motor on your boat without wanting people to die. And when I started hearing about, you know, people, you know, governments using drones to track people or forcing people to wear these quarantine bracelets, there are some constitutional rights that are in serious violation when you talk about some of these things. So you have to make sure that there isn't government overreach while still being safe and healthy in this country.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a balance, right? I mean, you know, there's obviously there's overreach, right? For example, when you get in a car, you're required by law to wear a seatbelt, you know, and there's different things that, you know, we can say have benefited society. You know, we can be our own worst enemy. I mean, that's to be fair. But at the same time, you know, freedom has always had a responsibility and a liability in the sense that it's not free.
Right.
And so, you know, but getting back to hunting and fishing, you know, I mean, yeah, people are outdoors. They're even at the boat ramps and stuff. You're not in proximity to people, and it's the best medicine there is. You know, get out and fish, get outside. You know, even if it's just walking your dog, I mean, get outdoors and do the things that you take care of your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of people are home. They're trying to teach their kids. They're worrying about their finances. They're hoping that they still have a job. They're trying to work from home. Kids are fighting. They're trying to get their kids' homework done. I mean, it's a, you know, everybody's world's upside down. And if you can sneak away and get out in a boat for a couple hours and catch a couple crappies, I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be some exotic faraway trip. Get outdoors and enjoy that. And when you come back, you're going to decompress. You're going to be a better husband, better wife, a better parent, you know, and, you know, it's just good for people. So that's the last thing you should ever take from people is the things that people live for, the things that people are so passionate about.
Well, we're looking forward to May 4th here in Minnesota when, as of the time of this recording anyway, the stay-at-home order, whatever, is going to be lifted, hopefully. And we're looking forward to that May 9th opener. Of course, in North Dakota, the seasons don't close, so you don't have openers over there. And then what is it like in North Dakota? What are you recommended to do and not do? And how is life like over there right now?
You know, what's really cool about both Dakotas is that the governors have kind of placed the onus on the citizens. Okay. The restaurants are closed, at least, you know, for dine-in. Bars are closed. Barbers, salons, gyms, you know, there's a few segments of the industry that were shut down, but everything else is open. Okay. And, you know, and people are practicing social distancing. I think people are pretty good about washing their hands. Some people are wearing masks. People are, you know, I think they're just being smart in their own way. And I have a lot of respect for that. I really like that approach in the sense that if you feel high risk or threatened, don't leave your home. Call a grocery store. They will drop your groceries off and leave them in your garage. And if you wanted to, you could go out there and disinfect every bag and or whatever. I mean, you can, if your kids want to come over and visit you on Easter or whatever, at the same time, they're not going to get arrested. Every person gets to decide how they get through this and do what's best for themselves and their families. And so, for example, some people are working. Some people say, you know what, I'm 35 years old. I'm statistically very, very, very low risk of anything happening with coronavirus. I'm going to work because my worst fear is that, you know, I lose my home, that my kids, I'm trying to raise my kids, and if I can't pay the mortgage. And so that person's deciding, you know what, I'm going to go to work and, you know, wash my hands and, you know, do something that's in some way, shape, or form also contributing to society too, because there's one less person on unemployment. There's, you know, someone that's still making some type of a living.
Sure.
And so, you know, being a business person, I understand full well the capitalistic side of things. And I think sometimes people that maybe, you know, they just, you know, they get their check every 2 weeks or whatever, and they don't understand that no matter where you work, no matter what you do, no matter what job you have, no matter who your employer is, the world turns by, you know, those transactions, people selling something and people buying something. And when that stops like it has, I mean, there's layers of this that we're going to be trying to get out from under for, you know, years, you know. And I think when we look back in hindsight, we're going to look back at all the ridiculousness of so many of these decisions that we're making right now that we just can't see clearly in the fog. But I commend both governors and the Dakotas for upholding the Constitution that they swore to protect when they became a politician. So.
Yeah, I'm glad to see what the governors of the Dakotas did. And I'm actually impressed with how Governor Walz has navigated through some of this here in Minnesota. But I wish...
Yeah, it's not easy, right? It's the worst job in the world. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, who would want... I mean, yeah, those are bad, tough decisions.
I just wish we aligned ourselves more with the Dakotas at times versus, you know, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin to some extent. I was disappointed in that decision. But we got to take a quick break. Jason Mitchell with us right here. We got more with Jason coming up. In fact, we'll talk about that big walleye when we come back.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on this station right here across the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or downloading the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Jason Mitchell's our guest, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, and he has been spending time outdoors. In fact, spent some time on the water this week. And Jason, before the interview, when we were talking off the air, you said it was one of the craziest days you've had in your life. And now I know you've had some amazing experiences in the outdoors. You've caught big fish. You've hunted some amazing animals. Tell us what was special about this walleye you caught the other day.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like winning a Powerball lottery in the sense when you look at the statistics, the odds of catching a fish of that caliber. We had a North Dakota state record for many several decades in the state, and there's always controversy and kind of a black cloud around that record because the fish was found floating dead on Wood Lake, which is a small lake over by Devil's Lake. The fish wasn't caught on rod and reel, but it was a different time. You know, I mean, it was, I don't think there was any maliciousness to it or any bad intent. It was just somebody found this huge walleye floating dead, and then they weighed it. Game Warden's like, wow, it's the biggest walleye in the state. That's the new state record. And it was just a different time, you know, and I always felt like somebody was getting cheated out of that record somewhere. And then a couple years ago, I think it was his name, Neil Lear, or I can't remember his name, but out of Bismarck there, you know, caught that new record right out of Fox Island there in the Missouri River. And I just thought that was awesome. So now we can finally put that old record that was kind of a sham into, and put it to bed, you know. And I was really, you know, excited about that. Like, this is an awesome deal for North Dakota. Now we finally have a legit state record walleye that was caught on rod and reel. Somebody caught it legally. You know, and I thought it was pretty cool. And then last year, you know, we had the controversy where somebody caught a fish that even beat that record, but it was found out or determined later that the fish had been snagged, you know, and so that fish was disqualified. And so I always thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I thought, you know, that the record's going to probably get beaten again. I just had no idea that, you know, I would ever have an opportunity to even hold a fish and make a decision whether I was going to keep it or not. And I decided to release the fish. So I don't know what my fish weighed. It could have been a half pound short. It could have been whatever. But, you know, it was a big fish. If I were to guess, I would guess it was right there or you know, could have been a record, you know, very, very easily. But I decided not to keep it. And that was my own personal decision. I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping a record. I mean, I think sometimes people shame somebody. They keep a record fish. That's ridiculous. It's the biggest walleye ever. It's like, you know, shaming somebody for shooting a 230-inch deer. I mean, the fish has spawned several decades or several years, you know, over the course of a decade. And, you know, fish has had plenty of eggs in the river, you know. And so I don't think keeping a record fish, all it is a feel-good thing. It does nothing. I mean, there should be no shame in keeping a record fish. And so, you know, I guess by me throwing that fish back, I don't mean to imply that if you keep a fish or catch a fish like that, you shouldn't weigh it. I mean, absolutely weigh it. I was filming a show. I didn't have a scale on me. If I put the fish in the live well and I find somebody to scale, I can't release that fish out of the live well, you know, according to North Dakota regulations. Doing what I do, I don't break any rules, you know. And so,
yeah,
you know, and it was just a deal where I had to make up my mind really quick. And I guess I could have maybe called a game warden and have somebody meet me at the dock. And then, you know, I don't know, maybe they would have gave an exception. If it would have been a state record, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with keeping a fish that's a state record. But and if it's not a state record, if you don't wait, you never know, and then talk is cheap too. So it's kind of a weird, bizarre place to be, because I don't ever want to – I remember, like, earlier some of these big fish that were caught that were state records, people would get on Facebook or whatever, and you hear some really weird stuff, like, oh, I caught a fish like that in 1986 and caught another one in 1991, but I just didn't want any attention, so I just didn't, you know. Yeah. It's like, come on. You know, I mean, don't really, no, you know, anyway, you know, like, oh my God, really, you know, or, you know, oh, I would never keep that fish, and you destroyed all those babies and killed all those eggs. Yeah. And you savage and stuff. I was like, come on, really? It's a state record, you know. I mean, it's one thing that, you know, if you, you know, like, I've thrown back a lot of 30 inch fish, you know, and for a fish to be, you know, 34 inches or 32 inches, it has to be 28 or 30 inches first, you know. And so I like throwing back those big fish. I mean, I don't, you know, I really like to mount deer. I don't have any money left to mount fish.
I'm getting that way with birds. I don't have any room left in the house for them anymore.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you get replicas, you know, and whatever, but is whatever. I never, you know, I wasn't prepared.
So
as usual.
So that's great. So you were filming. So we'll be able to see this on camera. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
How
was quite a gong show catching it by myself.
So yeah, you had a camera guy in the boat. He couldn't put the camera on a tripod for a second and grab the net.
No. I mean, we were filming and so, you know, I mean, this fish is big. It's, I mean, the head, when it swings its head from side to side, it like goes from like 2 to 3 feet on each side. I mean, it's the most massive head shakes. I mean, when I hooked into it, I thought I snagged a nice walleye, because I couldn't lift it. It was so hard to reel. It was so heavy. You know, I just couldn't do nothing with it. And so finally get up to the boat and just like, oh my God, you know, it opens up its mouth. It's like a 5 gallon bucket, wide open mouth, swinging its head back and forth. I'm in current. I can't get my net stretched out far enough to get it. I've got a little bit too much line out. So I'm reeling with my teeth, trying to crank up another foot or two. I still can't stretch out far enough. I reel a few more times with my teeth, and then I finally get it in the net. And I've got a small net, you know, which, you know, a lot of times when I'm filming, you know, I use a smaller net just so the fish look nicer, you know.
usually I don't worry about net.
Potential state record fish. Usually I'm like catching 20 to 24 inch fish or whatever. And yeah, they look, they fill up the net nice, and they look so beautiful, you know, and pretty. And yeah, it was just an absolute gong show, but got her. And
so 34 long, did you measure the girth on it? Cause it looked like a pretty fat fish.
No. So what I had to do, so I didn't have a bump board. Okay. What I did is I shoved the nose of the fish up to the edge of the gunnel. Okay. And then I marked it on the deck of the boat across the live well. And I did it on video. You know, I mean, I wish I would have had a lot of things that day. And so, you know, and I'm not trying to exaggerate or embellish or, you know, take a 11 pound walleye and try to make it, you know, 15, 16 pound walleye or whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But so I got it all on video. It's laying on the deck of the boat, and I marked it with the, on the boat, you know, and then, you know, took a tape measure to it, you know. And so, yeah, just an awesome experience, you know. I mean, I've seen a fair share of 10 to 12 pound fish. Okay. You know, Lake Winnipeg, Rainy River, Missouri River. And I've seen, you know, like some 10 and a half, 11 pound fish from Devil's Lake system and Sakakawea. You know, I've seen some really a lot of 8 to 10 and a half pound fish in my life. And, that fish was like a different species. Hmm. I mean, it was just like a whole, I mean, it was just wow.
Did you catch any other fish that day?
Oh, here's what's crazy. So this is kind of a crazy sidebar. So I got out there really, really early because I'd been kind of struggling. I'd been trying to film some stuff, pulling cranks, and I was catching a lot of eaters, but nothing big. But I saw a few big fish caught. And I thought, well, I'm going to get out here really, really early and try to get in some of these spots right away. And because it seemed like some of the first guys are pitching in some of these key spots, you know, caught a few big fish. And then after that, it just, the boat traffic got kind of busy and it just shut down. And so I was like the third boat out of Hazleton that morning. And when I was going to where I wanted to go, there's already a boat parked right where I wanted to sit. And okay, well, that happened. So I went up further around the river bend, and I hit a spot where we caught maybe four fish pulling cranks the day before. A little inside cup, that'd be kind of a good spot for pitching. Went through there, nothing, never had a bite. So I went to another spot that looked kind of good, and it was just down a little ways, and nosed into it. I made a few casts. Oh, so when I'm driving down there, I see this white thing floating out in the river. And I thought maybe it was foam at first, and I drove up to it. It was like a jug and something else. And so I slowed down so my cameraman could net it, and we just threw it in the floor of the boat. I just hate litter and stuff, yeah. Right? My cameraman's like, hey, you know, it's Earth Day. I'm like, Earth Day? I said, well, how do you know? I mean, well, I don't even know what day it is, you know? And, he's like, yeah. He goes, this is really good mojo. This is going to bring us good luck. I said, yeah, good. So anyways, I pull into a spot, and I put the spot trolling motor down. I make four, five casts, and I was kind of at a weird angle. So then I changed my angle. Second cast, pop, 8.5, 9-pound fish.
Jeez.
I thought, all right, now we're filming a show. This is a good start, you know. And, you know, because that was the biggest fish we'd caught down there, you know, so far this spring, you know, for myself. And, so, yeah, this is now we've got the fire lit, you know, and got that fish handled and released. And then, within 5 minutes, and I caught that big one. So the moral of the story is, if you ever drive down the river and you see some garbage or like a beer can or a jug or something floating down the river, make sure you stop and net it and pick it up.
Pick it up, yeah. That is a great story. That's awesome. Well, when do you think we'll be able to watch this, Jason?
You know, we're going to try to get it edited in a week or so. So okay. We're going to try to get it up on, at least up on YouTube right away. So.
Okay. Sure. Well, why don't you let us know all the places we can watch and listen. You got the podcast too. I know you got Taylor working with you, which is great. Where all can we see and hear you?
Well, YouTube is a really awesome platform. You know, 'cause you watch videos, listen to podcasts, do a lot of different things on, you know, just YouTube, search Jason Mitchell Outdoors on YouTube. Then we're on Facebook, social media, you know, Instagram, and then on the podcast apps, Apple app, I think Spotify and Stitcher. And so, we're on all the, you know, the major platforms. And and tell you what, I'm starting to listen to podcasts more and more when I'm driving. I get sick of listening to music.
Yeah.
And I like to listen about fishing especially, you know, so there's some really good stuff out there, you know, to listen to. So.
Yep, I'm the same way. Well, congratulations on a giant fish. Happy Earth Day. Glad you're safe and healthy out there, and hopefully all your friends and family are as well. And thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
You bet. Thank you.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.